Thank you, Jimmy. Again, good morning to everyone from me. Lovely to be gathered together on this special day. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Very good. What a great day to be here. My favourite hamburger is a hamburger with the lot. I don't know if they make them like this much these days. McDonald's certainly doesn't. But, you know, with the whole thing, right? Pineapple, yeah. Egg, you bet. Beetroot, right? Who's with me? Who's with me? And all the rest of it as well. Even a pickle, you know. I never used to be into the pickles. When I did eat McDonald's hamburgers, a pickle would come out. But now I'm even into the pickles. I like it to have it with a lot. Well, this verse that we're going to look at today talks about the meaning of the resurrection is really packed with a lot. Isn't it? Just have a look at this verse before we get into it. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, this is worthy of praise, isn't it? In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Wow, every word of that is just packed with profound meaning, isn't it? What a great passage we're going to look at today as we celebrate with joy the death of death, the death of death. As we remember the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The tomb is empty. Death could not hold him down. Death is defeated. We heard in our first reading the account from Mark's Gospel. Jesus had been crucified on the cross, a very cruel method of execution. He died. He was placed in the tomb. And on the third day, the women, some of his disciples, went to the tomb. They looked inside, but it was empty. They are surprised, confused, even afraid. What has happened? This can't be real. My girls are at Katoomba this weekend for Katoomba Christian Convention. When they come back from Katoomba, they will go to the kitchen and they will open the freezer. And they will look in the freezer and see that the chocolate ice cream is no longer there. The freezer is empty. How can this be, they will say. Well, they won't need an angel to tell them why the ice cream is not there. They will know that their father ate it. So there's not much mystery there. In the same way, the disciples should have known what was happening here. They should not have been surprised because Jesus had told them what was going to happen. He told them he would suffer and die and rise again on the third day. As well as that, the whole Old Testament story has been preparing God's people and anyone else who cares to look at God's word and God's revelation of his plans and purposes. It says it all there. He would send his son, the Messiah, the King, who would conquer death and would reign forever. No surprises. So we want to think about what has God accomplished in raising Jesus from the dead. What does it mean? Well, we see in our passage today something of the meaning of the empty tomb. Two things I want to focus on. First of all, God has given us hope. A living hope, it's described here in the passage. Hope is something we need. Hope is something we need every day. The great Russian author Fyodor Dostoevsky said, "To live without hope is to cease to live." Those Russians, they know how to really, depress you, didn't they? To live without hope is to cease to live. So we need hope. Where do we find hope? Well, God tells us here that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead gives us hope, gives us a special kind of hope. A different kind of hope, as we'll see. Let's have a look at that verse 3 again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Or because of the resurrection. A living hope. That's a strange phrase, isn't it? Why would it be described as a living hope? It's a living hope because it's hope in a person. It's hope in a person who is alive. He was dead, but now he's alive. And he's alive forever. And so in this life, we can have a living hope. But we have lots of hopes, don't we, in this world and in this life. I've been thinking about this word hope, and it seems to me that what we hope for reveals what we desire. What we hope for reveals what we think life is about and what will give us fulfillment. So we might say things like, I hope that I'll be happy. Well, you know, that's what the meaning of life is for us then, to be happy. I hope that I'll be successful. I hope that I'll have a family. I hope that I'll be rich. I hope that I'll have fun. Our hopes reveal what motivates us and what we think is going to make our life complete and fulfilled. And so we have those hopes and we get up in the morning with those hopes and we follow those hopes and go after those hopes. Of course, many of our hopes are good things. They're good things. We can set them as goals in our life because we have life. God has given us a life to live, right? We know we're alive. What an amazing gift from God that we have life. And he gives us good things. And we can take those things and we can enjoy those things and we can even pursue those things. And we give thanks to God for those things because every good gift comes from his hand. Every good gift, every blessing comes from a good God. And we can receive with thanksgiving those things that we can have in this life that he's given us. But ultimately, they won't provide us with true fulfillment. They are not the things that will make us truly content because that's not what we're made for. God knows what we are made for. We're made for him. We're made for a relationship with him. We're made for a relationship with him forever. And he has shown us the way to have that, the way of Christ, the way of the cross and the empty tomb. There's no guarantees, of course, that our hopes in this world will be achieved, even if they're good hopes. There's no guarantee that we will get them. Because our hopes in this world are ultimately temporary. They'll pass away. Ultimately, they will perish, spoil and fade like everything in this world. But God has given us hope in something beyond this world, something eternal, someone eternal. You see the difference? Jesus is alive and he reigns. And when this world and everything in it passes away, Jesus will still be alive and still be reigning and promises us a new and better world and a new and better life that we can share with him, where we will have complete fulfillment because that's what we're made for. So we can wake up every morning with the hopes of this world, but we can also wake up every morning with a living hope in a living person. And this living hope that we have is grounded in the historical reality of Jesus' resurrection and not in the fleeting, transitory shadows of this world. And so remembering that Christ conquered death gives us confidence in this living hope. It gives us confidence that our future is secure, that our life is secure in him, no matter what happens today, no matter what happens tomorrow, no matter what happens in our life. This living hope is what gives us confidence in a world where we don't know what might happen, where we may not have control over what happens. This living hope is a hope that we can carry with us through this life, even through the hardships and the uncertainties of life. And there's plenty of that, isn't there? You see, this living hope is not dependent on the circumstances, which can be out of our control and at times can seem overwhelming. This living hope is a hope we can carry with us, even in the face of our own death. And that brings me to the second point. What God has accomplished in raising Jesus from the dead gives us hope, but it also gives us an eternal inheritance. In this life, we may have an inheritance from our parents. It might be good, might be bad, who knows? My mum always said to me, when I die, you get the piano. She always said that. Mum died some years ago, and I got the piano. I actually haven't touched it since. I haven't touched that piano. It's at a friend's place. It's out of tune, he tells me. And apparently it's got some kind of wood infestation. In this world, everything perishes, spoils and fades. What we inherit, even from our parents in this world, perishes, spoils and fades. But let's look at our verse again. In his great mercy, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not forget the praise. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. And this inheritance is kept in heaven for you. God has something good for us because he loves us. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to be the people he's created us to be in a relationship with him for eternity. Something great. An eternity with him, treasure in heaven that he's keeping for us. When this life is done, the best is yet to come. We can't even imagine how glorious this will be. The Bible tells us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. We cannot conceive of how great eternity will be with God. But we can be certain of it. We can be sure of it. What God has accomplished in raising Jesus from the dead has given us certainty of our inheritance. Bruce Springsteen sang, glory days, how they'll pass you by. Maybe you've had glory days. Maybe you looking for glory days in the future. Maybe that's a hope that you have, but they will pass you by. Glory days will fade. Our achievements will fade. Our possessions will fade. The piano is perishing. Everything will rot, fade, and perish. Enjoy them while you can, if they're good gifts from the Lord. But they're fading away. But our inheritance in heaven is secure. And God is guarding it for us. He's keeping it for us, we see in this passage. It cannot be taken away. It's something we can be sure of. How can we be sure of it? We have a guarantee. The guarantee is the empty tomb. The guarantee is the resurrection of Jesus himself. Death is not the end. We know that for sure. Because we have a living hope in a living person. The resurrection of Jesus is a one-off event in history. It confirms that God has come to us with a plan and a purpose. This is from God, okay? This is not just something that happened randomly. This is not just something that happened by accident. This is not just some freak of nature. This is a man who came back from the dead. And so it confirms all that God is telling us, all that God is promising us, all that Jesus has said. It confirms that God has come to save us in the person of Jesus and bring us to himself. So when we look at the empty tomb, and we look in and we consider he's not here, what does it tell us? It tells us that we have a living hope and a glorious eternal inheritance that will fulfill us more than anything this world can offer. Well, we have two certainties in life, right? One of them's not taxes. People don't pay taxes, some of them. It's life and death. Life is certain. We have this life that God has given us, but death is also certain. I came across the story of Brian Johnson. He made his fortune as an investor, and then he set about trying to beat death. There's a documentary on Netflix about him. It's called Don't Die, The Man Who Wants to Live Forever. Don't die. It's funny, isn't it? Just don't die, right? The man who wants to live forever. He's now 47 years old. Every day, every single day of his life, he has a strict program, a strict lifestyle. Everything is planned down to the finest detail. His diet, his exercise, and his supplements that he takes. He even tried plasma transfusions, whatever that is. Apparently he's given up on that one. He's attempting to reverse the aging process. I say good luck to him. Good luck, Brian. He's attempting to reverse the aging process. It's costing him $2 million a year. $2 million a year. So the longer he lives, the more it's going to cost him, I suppose. Now, experts have looked at what Brian's doing and they say, well, there may be some scientific benefits or something that comes from it, but he's going to die. Experts have said that, you know, we can live a healthy life and grab a few extra years, but in the end, it comes down to genes and good luck. That's what the experts say. But God wants Brian Johnson to know that the supplement that he really needs is faith. That's the supplement that he needs to live forever. Faith. God has shown the world that in Christ we have a living hope for every day of our life. Every morning we wake up, a living hope. And we have an inheritance that is eternal. And God is keeping it for us. And it's right there for the taking. We can't earn it. We can't exercise for it. We can't eat our way to it. Let's have a look at our passage again, because there's another clue there. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. How do you get it? Well, there's nothing you can do. You can't beat death. Brian can't beat death. We can't beat death. It's because of God's great mercy. Totally dependent on God's mercy. Totally dependent on God sending Jesus into the world to die on the cross for us and to rise from the dead to conquer death. Totally dependent on God's mercy. And you see, it says there, He has given us this new birth into a living hope. We just need to accept it by putting our faith in the risen Christ, the Lord and Saviour.